Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you Treasures of Our Faith, reflections from priests in our listening area on topics of their choosing. And now, Treasures of Our Faith.
The seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord, are blessings to assist our soul in their progress in holiness. This edition of Treasures of Our Faith will look at two of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, wisdom and understanding. I am Father Pat Toner, chaplain to Courage, Encourage, the Ohio Reformatory for Women, and Franklin Medical Center. The Holy Spirit is always at work, prompting us to live lives of virtue and grace. The better we understand the gifts and cultivate them, the greater the benefit to our souls. Fear of the Lord opened our eyes and prepared us for a truly humble and awe-filled awareness of God. The other gifts all benefit from it. With a sense of wonder, wisdom opens us up to God's divine design. It cultivates divine ideas and realities. Aided by meditation, we are spiritually more perceptive of God's plan unfolding and our place in it. Wisdom results in right judgment. In harmony with the Holy Spirit, we possess an inner communion with the will of God. When we are in the state of grace, wisdom abides in us. Mortal sin breaks our communion with God and cuts us off from the gift of wisdom. Sin blinds us to the perfect plan of God. Wisdom is first of all a gift from God. That does not mean that we cannot do something to cultivate it in our life. Consider what a teacher does to prepare his or her subject. We prepare a lesson plan, outlining the overview of the course. We fit each lesson into that master plan. However, we don't do that in isolation. We consider the whole curriculum and where our piece fits in. That, in turn, must fit in with the vision of the diocese and the church. When we begin to cultivate wisdom, we begin to make connections between our part and the whole. Every part of God's creation is interwoven and connected. The poet John Donne wrote, "No man is an island, entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a cloud be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less. As well as if a promontory were, as well as if a manor of thy friends, or of thine own were. Any man's death diminishes me, because I am involved in mankind, and therefore never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee." The wisdom we find in great literature opens our hearts to contemplate what else there is that can enrich my existence. Every piece of wisdom that we discover opens us to discover even more amazing coincidences in our world. Even the smallest particle is in communion with the whole universe. In this age, we strive to be experts in one subject. Specialization is the key to success. To master a topic or a piece of a topic is the goal of a doctorate. We become obsessed with our own little part of the world. Sin obscures our vision of wisdom by focusing upon ourself. Saints are the product of wisdom. Because they live for God and others, not for themselves, they fit all the pieces together into a whole life. Those wise men and women we call doctors of the church excelled in many aspects of life. They understood St. Irenaeus' description, "The glory of God is man fully alive." The goal of wisdom is to cultivate whole lives filled with the infinite possibilities of grace. Wisdom restores order and divine purpose to our lives. Wisdom reveals the mysteries we celebrate. We can speak of practical wisdom. The wisdom literature in the Old Testament contained a lot of practical advice for the young to follow if they wish to be successful. Practical wisdom is like training exercises that prepare an athlete for the big game. There is a physical component needed to go with the understanding of the game plan and how to execute it. It is cultivated by mentors and teachers. Only a fool is his own teacher, because wisdom comes from outside ourselves. The gifts of the Holy Spirit work with each other and with the virtues. The Book of Wisdom, chapter 8, verse 7 says, "If anyone loves righteousness, wisdom's labors are virtues, for she teaches temperance and prudence, justice and courage." The Catechism of the Catholic Church states in paragraph 1806, "Prudence is the virtue that disposes practical reason to discern our true good in every circumstance and to choose the right means of achieving it. The prudent man looks where he is going. Keep sane and sober for your prayers." Prudence is right action, right reason in action, writes St. Thomas Aquinas, according to Aristotle. It is not to be confused with timidity or fear, nor with duplicity or dissimulation. It is called the charioteer of the virtues. It guides the other virtues by setting rule and measure. It is prudence that immediately guides the judgment of conscience. The prudent man determines and directs his conduct in accordance with this judgment. With the help of this virtue, we apply moral principles to particular cases without error and overcoming doubts about the good to achieve and the evil to avoid. Prudence is one of the many facets of wisdom at work. Along with the human virtues and habitual virtues, wisdom is most intimately connected with the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. Paragraph 1814 of the Catechism. Faith is the theological virtue by which we believe in God and believe all that He has said and revealed to us, and that Holy Church proposes for our belief, because He is truth itself. By faith, man freely commits his entire self to God. For this reason, the believer seeks to know and do God's will. The righteous shall live by faith. Living faith works through charity. Faith and wisdom come directly from God to draw us into communion with God. Wisdom enlightens our faith, and our faith further cultivates our wisdom. An old Latin dictum comes to mind. Lex credendi est lex orandi. What we believe forms our prayer, and how we pray deepens our belief. Hope is also the fruit of wisdom. Grasping God's overall plan of salvation, our hope is well founded. In paragraph 1818, the virtue of hope responds to the aspirations of happiness, which God has placed in the heart of every man. It takes up the hopes that inspire man's activities and purifies them so as to order them to the kingdom of heaven. It keeps man from discouragement. It sustains him during times of abandonment. It opens up his heart in expectation of eternal beatitude. Buoyed by hope, he is preserved from selfishness and led to the happiness that flows from charity. Charity completes what God has initiated in us, brings it to a fruitful conclusion. Just as wisdom is tied with all the other gifts of the Holy Spirit and all the virtues, charity is the bond that orders them to God's plan. The practice of all the virtues is animated and inspired by charity, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. It is the form of the virtues. It articulates and orders them among themselves. It is the source and the goal of their Christian practice. Charity upholds and purifies our human ability to love and raises it to the supernatural perfection of divine love. In summary, wisdom is the gift that enables us to grasp the spiritual reality of God's infinite and eternal plan as it is mapped out across creation. With charity, it binds the whole package together in communion with God. It is the big picture that opens us to see and be more than our short-sighted world would show us. As Scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This is Treasures of Our Faith, and I am Father Pat Toner. We are reflecting upon the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gift of understanding is a refinement to the gift of wisdom. Without understanding, wisdom might be overwhelming. Scripture speaks of seeing the face of God and dying. To try to comprehend the fullness of God would be too great for our minds, and we would simply shut down. St. Augustine was pondering the mystery of the Trinity as he walked along the seashore. He encountered a young boy with a seashell, carrying water from the ocean and pouring it into a small hole. The boy told him he would put the whole ocean into the hole. St. Augustine replied that the ocean is too great to be put into a small hole. The boy, an angel sent by God, pointed out that the mystery of the Trinity was too great for the man of mind to contain. Understanding allows us to sort out parts of the mystery. Understanding gives us a certain intimate insider's knowing so that we can read into God's revelation. Wisdom is like a view of our world from space, taking the whole solar system into view. Understanding is like having a map of our continent, so as of yet unexplored. We don't know what we will find on the ground as we boldly go forward. in the life of grace, understanding enables us to see into the core and inner truth of God's plan. The letter of James tells us, "Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials, for you will know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance be perfect, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and he will be given it. But he should ask in faith, not doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed about by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from God, since he is a man of two minds, unstable in all his ways." It is because of this being of two minds that we are given the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and especially the gift of understanding. James is following what Jesus said about not being able to serve two masters, that you will serve one and hate the other. When we get drawn into the wisdom of the world, we may become myopic and lose sight of the spiritual. Or we may try to harmonize both, thinking that is the way we are to live in this world. The gift of counsel, which we will consider next, will help us with that. Likewise, as James admonishes us to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his own face in a mirror. He sees himself, then goes off and promptly forgets what he looked like. But the one who peers into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres, and is not a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, such a one will be blessed in what he does. Here the gift of fortitude comes into action. James has more to say about being of two minds. Where do the wars and where do the conflicts among you come from? Is it not from your passions that make war within your members? You covet, but do not possess. You kill and envy, but you cannot obtain. You fight and wage war. You do not possess because you do not ask. You ask but do not receive because you ask wrongly, to spend it on your passions. Adulterers, do you know that to be a lover of the world means enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wants to be a lover of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose that the Scripture speaks without meaning when it says, "The Spirit that he has made to dwell in us tends toward jealousy"? But he bestows a greater grace. Therefore it says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you of two minds." James calls those of two minds adulterers. He clearly believes that God has called us into a covenant, an intimate union with him. And being two-minded is giving an equal part of ourselves to the world. We are being unfaithful. We should know better. When a husband starts the day with thoughts of love for his wife and ends the day in the same way, there is no room in his mind or heart for thoughts of infidelity. When he is distracted frequently with thoughts of other women, he is likely to commit adultery while still professing his love for his wife. The gift of understanding brings these considerations into focus. We become of one mind, and that mind is set upon being part of God's plan. That is how we become doers of the word. Through understanding, we see all human deeds in relationship to God's plan and our goal of eternal communion with God. Truth is the result of understanding. The Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches in paragraph 2465 and following, the Old Testament attests that God is the source of all truth. His word is truth. His law is truth. His faithfulness endures to all generations. Since God is true, the members of his people are called to live in the truth. In Jesus Christ, the whole of God's truth has been made manifest. Full of grace and truth, he came as the light of the world. He is the truth. Whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. The disciple of Jesus continues in his word so as to know the truth that will make you free and that sanctifies. To follow Jesus is to live in the Spirit of truth, whom the Father sends in his name and who leads into all truth. To his disciples, Jesus teaches the unconditional love of truth. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Understanding enables us to live in the Spirit of truth and to be doers of the word, which is truth. We can hear the echoes of James' warnings about being of two minds. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says in paragraph 2468, truth as uprightness in human action and speech is called truthfulness, sincerity, or candor. Truth or truthfulness is the virtue that consists in showing oneself true in deeds and truthful in words, and guarding against duplicity, dissimulation, and hypocrisy. Blessed are those who bear witness to the truth. A vital part of our education as a whole person is the seeking of truth, whether in schools, religious education, home, or other endeavors. Truth is a fundamental virtue we must defend and promote. Understanding helps us to overcome the offenses to truth. The Catechism in Articles 2475 to 2487 lists those offenses as false witness and perjury, sins against respect for the reputation of another, such as rash judgment, detraction, calumny, and lying. Since it violates the spirit, the virtue of truthfulness, a lie does real violence to another. It affects his ability to know, which is a condition of every judgment and decision. It contains the seed of discord and all consequent evils. Lying is destructive of society. It undermines trust among men and tears apart the fabric of social relationships. Understanding increases our ability to know, which is the key to making good choices. Understanding encompasses the good deeds we perform and enlightens us about what needs to be done. Teaching critical thinking is a valuable tool that assists the development of God's gift of understanding. God's gifts do not exist in a vacuum. Grace builds upon nature. James offers this insight. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show his works by a good life in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. Wisdom of this kind does not come from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is discord and every foul practice. For the wisdom from above is first of all pure, then peaceable, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, without inconstancy or insincerity. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for those who cultivate peace. The gift of understanding is empowered through the gift of counsel, which we will consider in our next edition of Treasures of Our Faith. I am Father Pat Toner. May you be in heaven a long time before the devil knows you're dead.
Treasures of Our Faith is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Treasures of Our Faith and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni, Sancti.